CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. It is Thursday. It's the 1st of September. It's Spring Day.
Woohoo!
Spring Day!
That's right. I know. I love it. I love it. This is the time of year I wait for. Oh, I know we mustn't wish away time, right? Because we've only got a limited amount of it. But this is from now. From now until, like, February is the best. Oh, this is the greatest time. The weather is good. People are happier. You got the festive season on the way. I know it's a lot to think about it in the 1st of September, but man, this is where it starts getting good. Love, love, love it. How are you, Pums?
I am Babala.
Babala.
I am also very fabulous.
Oh,
I am excited for spring.
I thought you said Babalas for a second there, but you said fabulous.
I'm never Babalas.
Yeah, I was going to say, wow, on a Wednesday night, you would have been doing well. Sure.
No, never Babalas. Also, it is the last week of school holidays.
Oh.
I have young men here at my house.
How many of them?
So, three.
Oh, wow. Okay, so Canejo plus three. Or Canejo plus two. So
Canejo plus two.
It's still too many to look after. And well, how old are these kids now? Because
no, but they don't have to be looked after. You know, they at that age, right? So 12, 13, 14.
You think they don't have to be looked after? I think
they just have to be fed. At this age, they just have to be fed.
And it's an ordeal because they eat a lot.
Listen, Gareth, you know, everybody's talking about the price of everything. Everybody's talking about how inflation. I actually, because I'm a planner, so mm-hmm. planned all the meals, mm-hmm. counted it all out and like planned it all and then went for a shop. I actually had a tear in my eye.
Oh my God.
I really did.
That bad, huh?
It was eye-watering.
Well, I mean, I don't even know kind of how to figure that out because it's been things have gone up so much that what you used to be able to buy for 1,000 rand would last you so much longer. And it's hard to figure out because you can obviously compare prices today and yesterday and, you know, today and 10 years ago and all the rest of it. And I don't know that it helps you that much because, you know, they often say like, you know, 1 rand you earn right now is probably worth a lot more rands in the future. So it's very hard to kind of get your head around inflation, prices, petrol, increases or decreases in salary. And let's face it, no one's going to get a salary increase anytime soon. Is that right? You agree?
Yeah.
It's not going to happen unless you work in the public sector because there the unions are just obsessed with this. That's all they do.
Yeah, but even then, I have a cousin who works for SARS, and you mm-hmm. remember there was a couple of months ago they were on strike.
Yes.
And they were on strike because of, and we spoke about it, and they were like offices closing down across the country because of the strike.
Yes.
They've all got back to work.
Damn.
They were on strike. The commissioner said, listen, Treasury is not giving us more money. You're not getting a raise. So the strike just fizzled. So, yeah.
Damn, I was hoping they'd be permanently closed. You know how I feel about SARS, right?
Listen, I am currently so mad.
Why?
You know, they had a... Because they a week and a half ago or something mm-hmm. like that, they actually put out a statement about their record collections.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm so mad because I'm just like, in an economy like this, where everybody is agreeing about how tight things are, how the inflation is, all of that. And here you are coming out to say, over and above all that, we have had record collections. Nobody is sitting down and thinking, well, maybe the system is overtaxed. Because that's what that means.
Well, I mean, the system can only handle so much tax. And we in South Africa are taxed very heavily. You know, you compare it to countries like the US and Northern Europe and places like that. We really have a very high tax rate. And, of course, we get very little in return for it. But you and I have often had this conversation about social welfare spending. And I had an interesting conversation with someone the other day about that. And his belief is that social welfare spending, because it's just cash in hand for so many people, has allowed a lot of people in this country who would have had nothing and had no opportunity and no ability to help themselves or to raise their own level of living. He says that actually the social grants have been a tremendous boon to the economy. And it's not always measurable, because a lot of these people have turned that social grant into, even though it's only, what, 350, and now they're putting up to 600 and something, he says a lot of people put that into businesses, and they've started creating little micro enterprises all over the place. And he reckons it's been a very, very good thing, which is a point of view I hadn't thought of before, I must be honest with you.
When it started, Gareth, when it started all those many years ago, and we know the numbers, looking back at the time, yep, and looking at who's been pulled out of poverty and all of those things, and doubling the middle class right? All of those many wonderful things.
Yeah.
The truth of the matter is that all those gains have been squandered in the past couple of years.
Yes.
But also, there was no plan, and still today, there is no plan for people to get off the system.
Yes.
So bringing people onto the system, I don't have a problem with it. I think it's a great idea. You've got to be able to have a social security net where it is needed. But it cannot be indefinitely. There has to be a plan to bring people out on the other side. It's absolutely, let me just look at the time. Okay, it's 10 minutes in. They said I can't swear
Oh, go ahead. I know what you're going to say.
No, but honestly, it is absolute bullshit that the president is willing to stand up in front of a crowd and say, we now have 20 million people.
No, they've turned it into something they boast about it. They're like, oh, this is so great that we've got all these people on social welfare. But they don't seem to understand.
Bullshit.
Look, the biggest problem here is that these politicians don't know how money is made. They don't actually understand how the economy works. So
even the people making money don't quite know how money
is
made.
I don't know.
In jobs and in, you know.
I don't know, Pums. I mean, you work in your own business. You know how hard you have to work for every rand and how much harder it is now than it was maybe 10 years ago to get that rand in your pocket. It's tough. It's really, really tough. So I don't think they feel that. You know, they boast about the record SARS tax intake. They boast about how many people are on social welfare. They seem to be boasting about exactly the wrong things. Like they're proud of, they are so proud of themselves for exactly the wrong things. And that's where I think there's a problem. There's a disconnect there. Anyway.
Enough Godongwane, our finance minister.
He also wears stupid hats,
doesn't
he?
He's so stressed out. He's been so stressed out. He's been in hospital for a week. Did you know this?
Oh, no. Oh, shame. I must feel sorry for him.
Shame, man. He's been so stressed out.
All right.
So no one said anything until I saw the article about him coming out of hospital. I was like, do you think he went into hospital because he's so stressed out that there's sexual harassment?
Yeah, it's never about his mismanagement or his management of the economy. It's never about politics. These guys only get stressed out when it hits home, when it's like, you know, sexual allegations and stuff like that. Now, we covered this in the show the other day. Very embarrassing. Listen, I want to do something new this morning. We said we were going to open up the WhatsApp line, which I've just put up on the screen now, 071-783-6214. That's the WhatsApp line, which we've started from yesterday. Do you want to hear some of those messages?
Okay, yes.
All right, take a listen to this quickly. Here is the first one from someone we know. All right.
Hi, Gareth. Mash here. Glad to see the show went live on time today for once. And to all those people who are making fun of me for not washing my chicken, just wanted to let you guys know that my video is now at 1,000 views on TikTok. Just kidding, it's at 1,000,000. So thanks for that. And then you guys should also check out my new show with Simpiwe called Third Draft. And it is on all major podcast streaming platforms. We interview all kinds of amazing creatives. So check that out. It's really fun. Thanks.
What do you think of that? What do you think of that? Do you like that? That's Mash. You heard that, right? So they've got a brand new podcast, Mash and Simpiwe. And he was also congratulating us on starting the show on time today, which I think was a bit sarcastic. But we've also got a whole bunch of other people, and let me go through some of these. So here's the first one on the WhatsApp line this morning.
Gareth and team, been a long time listener. You can probably hear by my Moy accent, and I'm from Victoria. Just want to say keep up the good work, and I'm listening to you guys every morning. Thanks.
Okay.
I love it.
Yeah, and then we've got this one.
Hey, Cliff Central. This is an absolutely brilliant idea. Well done to the team, and thanks for giving us this opportunity to actually broadcast our own voices. Fantastic.
See, we get to hear people for the first time. Listen to this one.
Hey, morning, good people of Cliff Central. It's Mapele here. So I'm still listening to today's podcast of the GCS. And I had to share about the first podcast you ever listened to. And it got me thinking about my story of discovering podcasts. So, in 2020, I used to follow a few radio presenters on Twitter. And I realized one thing about them, that they follow, most of them, they follow this one guy, Gareth Cliff. I'm like, who's Gareth
Cliff? Did that cut off? I haven't heard,
to
I can't
the
hear
internet
the list of it.
And I
think
I
it's kind of
But he has an app. I'm like, wow, he has an app. This is interesting. I downloaded the app instantly. And I realized that there were shows, okay, Monday, Tuesday. Then I listened to one of those shows. It was one with Leanne. Hey, this was really interesting to me. Just people talking for like an hour and another hour. Wow. This is so interesting. And I discovered other podcasts on the internet or on the app, Cliff Central app, Sex Talk. Wow. That's one of my favorites. And other podcasts, I'm like, whoa. I wish I discovered this earlier. So since then, I've been listening to every show. I never missed one show. So the Gareth Cliff Show was the best podcast I ever listened to.
All right.
Wow.
So some nice voice notes there. You want to join in the party? Then send us your voice note. You can send it as a WhatsApp to 071-783-6214. We want to hear from you.
I do want to say that voice notes work for a radio show like this or all media that is audio-based.
Yeah.
I hate it when people send you voice notes on your WhatsApp, though.
Do you
like,
hate it?
I can't answer your phone. Yeah. I couldn't answer the call, and then you send me a voice note.
Yeah.
I cannot listen to your voice note. If you can't type it up, you can still, like, you can voice to type, you know? You can
What's the appropriate length if you have to send a voice note? Because sometimes I do that when I'm driving just because, you know, I don't want to be driving and typing.
But you know that it can type for you. You do know that, right? That you can talk to it and it types.
Yeah.
So the person on the other side gets a text.
So would you prefer a badly spelled, badly written out text which you've created with voice, or would you rather just listen to
because if I couldn't take the call, it means I can't listen to the voice note.
Okay. All right. Well, Marco
also
says
don't make it too long. Don't like be 15 minutes.
Yeah, Marco says 30 seconds. Chris says anything over a minute is too long. Under a minute, please. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. It's like, I hate voice notes.
So someone says here, Ruth says that the message is cut off. Okay, well, I'm going to have to try that again. You know what I can do is let me just see if this one plays. Let's just take a listen to this. This is from Ruth, actually.
Good morning, good morning. This is Rebellious Ruth, just checking in.
All right, so there we go. You hear that one properly?
Ooh.
You didn't.
Nice voice. So this is the nice thing, though, but like people must send us voice notes so we can hear your voices. It's so nice. Now I can hear your voice when I read your messages.
Okay. Yeah, good. I agree with that. I like that, too, because then we can hear what kind of, you know, so you hear someone's voice, it tells you a lot more about them than if you just read their text. So if you can do that for us, let us know. 071-783-6214. That is the number. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to send us messages, but we quite like the idea of playing a voice note. And every now and then you can, I just played a bunch of them this morning. There are some more that I didn't get to. But really, if you have anything in your mind and you think that this would be a great way to start the show every morning, we're going to be looking through those every day. We will listen to every voice note. So, Pumi, Chase says I would rather listen to a voice note instead of reading a message with a voice note length of 3 minutes.
No. Listen, no one should be sending 3 minute long voice notes.
Right.
Don't send a 3 minute long voice note.
Imagine.
But you know what I do want to tell you about, because it's so early. When you get the chance today, guys, speaking of podcasts and watching things after it's been live, go and find the US Open like Twitter handle. They were calling it the Spike Cam.
Oh, yeah?
It'll make your day. Spike Lee was at courtside this morning, this morning for us, at the Serena Williams match.
Yeah.
Spike Lee was live.
What did he do?
You've seen Spike Lee at the basketball, right?
No, not really.
No? No. Okay, so Spike Lee, big basketball fan, courtside, very intense. But also, you know, he like gets up, he's very engaged.
Right.
He was having the same experience courtside today at Serena's match. He was high-fiving people at the break points.
Okay. So there's a whole show going on. There's a show going on off the court as well.
Oh, my goodness. Look, it was a hell of a match. Serena was in Serena form.
Yeah.
And she's through to the next round. Spoiler alert, she is through to the next round. But go and see the outtakes of Spike Lee courtside. They even started calling it the Spike Cap because he was so...
I love that. That's awesome. The Spike Cam.
It'll make your day. If we don't do it, it'll do it.
Okay. Good. Good. And we've got something else to look at. I don't really watch tennis, but I mean, anything that'll make it more exciting, I'll give a try. Why the hell not?
Do you watch sports? Every time, I feel like every time we talk about sports, you're like, I don't watch that.
Not really.
I don't do that.
Not really. And I know it's such a weird thing, so I don't talk about it very much because most people do watch sport. And most people love watching sport. And I feel like I'm a rank outsider when it comes to this stuff because I cannot concentrate on it for long. And unless things are happening every 5 minutes, which they don't in any sport, I just get bored. You know, even at that competitive level, if I'm not involved, I know it's so selfish and like self-absorbed, but if I'm not involved, if I'm not actually playing the game myself, I don't see any reason to take part. I really don't. I'm not a good spectator. So
for the past couple of years, they've been doing this. Obviously, for the past 2 years, there was no comrades, and this past weekend was the comrades race.
Yes.
But you could follow your friends or people that you know. They could share with you their number, and you could follow them on the app.
Or really?
Online.
Oh.
So you can watch the big, because the comrades is like at my house when we were growing up. My parents, this was a thing, you know, we'd wake up, we'd watch the six, it used to start at six, and now they start at 5:30. So we'd be up, we'd have breakfast, we'd watch the people like go off at the beginning of the race, and they always have this, it's so emotional, you know, they have like these big shots of, like, of all the people getting ready just at the starting line, and there's thousands of them. And they play the theme music from Chariots of Fire. It's always such a thing. Right? It's like ding 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 ding. And then through the day you watch it, you know, intervals. You watch various because then it's on the whole day. But the best part is watching that last hour of the marathon as the last just before they close the gates.
I hate it. I can't watch it.
Coming into.
I can't watch it. It's too depressing.
Oh, no ways. It's amazing. It's amazing. These people have been running for 12 hours.
That's exactly why it's so ridiculous. And they still didn't come first. So why are they even bothering? They should have turned around and gone home. I've never understood this. And I say it every time. People go, ha, 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 you're so funny. But think about it. If aliens landed, they saw a bunch of human beings running from Maritzburg to Durban. And they were like, okay, I see. It's a competition. So why do the people, after the first guy crosses the line, why do the rest of the people carry on? What's that all about? Doesn't make sense. They should all go home. All of them. And especially, like I can kind of understand if you would be going for a gold or a silver, right? Like, how many gold medals do they give out? Like 10.
I have to, I found this, oh my goodness, about one of the guys, one of the first kind of runners in the comrades. It was the most hilarious post I have ever seen, that he ran in his rugby boob.
Let me read this to you. This is good. I know what you mean. It shows you how the comrades have become so serious, and like running has even become a serious thing, where, you know, once upon a time, here we go, Bill Payne, a Springbok rugby player, ran the comrades marathon in 1922 in rugby boots, stopped for a chicken curry in Hillcrest, drank beer in the Drummond Hotel, accepted peach schnapps en route, and enjoyed tea and cake with his family in Pietermaritzburg before finishing in eighth position. Payne played a club rugby match the next day. now that would have been, I mean, you know, that guy had fun. He had fun. He had a great race. Stopped for a chicken curry, had some beer, peach schnapps, popped in with his family for tea and cake, and still came eighth.
Oh, my goodness.
Right?
Listen, sports for me is one of those things. I love watching sports. I love watching lots of different types of sports, because it's just so unbelievable for me what people can do with their bodies and their minds, because that's what the comrades is about, right? It's a mind race more than everyone I know who's ever run the comrades will tell you that it's all about your mental strength. Like, your physical strength can only get you so far, but it's all about your mental strength.
I don't care. I just don't care. I wish I could give a shit about someone else's mental strength, but it does nothing for me. So, Tabo says, Gareth probably has a gunt that he doesn't like sport, because he doesn't like sport. Greg says, there are 10 gold and under 7 hours and 30 minutes is silver. Okay.
Wow.
Oh. Tammy says they're trying to beat their own times, man. Oh, well. Ooh, I beat my own times. Well, then just do it at home. Why don't you just, you know, run? You could still figure out, like, measure the distance of the comrades, and you run it yourself. Or just go run it yourself quietly on a Thursday when no one has to watch. Block the roads. You know what I mean? Anyway, sport becomes even more interesting once you have some skin in the game, but be careful with Betway. He. So Pablo is busy saying there that he obviously takes sports betting into this, which is interesting. San Marie says, it's not a race of speed only, Gareth. It's also a race of endurance. I'm saying that as someone who's never watched it, and I don't love it either. Yeah, well, whoopee. You can't make me interested in something I'm not interested in. Boer Willem says, I just finished the comrades an hour ago. So proud of myself. Yeah, I'm not impressed by that comrade story. We've all had a night out like that, says Congo Chris. All right.
You people are animals.
Yeah.
Animals.
Really. Tracy says, whenever I go hiking in a nature reserve with my kids and one of those heavily kitted out trail runners comes swishing past, I'm thinking, my child is doing the same hike, same distance, without all that crap. So, yeah. The camel pack, compression socks, buff. 2,000 Rand running shorts, 9,000 Rand running shoes. Oh, please. I like the guy.
Look, I will say.
I like the guy who won it. I like the guy who won it. He got like 100,000 Rand from his employer. He's got, you know, that's an impressive
240,
thing.
I think, is the prize money.
Yeah, but that's nice. good for him. I'm always interested in the winner, but I don't need to watch the stupid race. It does nothing for me. Nothing. I don't watch rugby, tennis, football, cricket, nothing. I don't watch any of that stuff. Could care less. Now let's stop talking about it. Because I know everybody else on earth loves it. So I'm the only one. It's just me on this side and everybody else on this side. I get it.
But you know, I think social media, especially like Instagram, has made everything a show. It's made running the comrades
Sure.
People are taking pictures and posting on social media and the shoes and the this and, you know.
Yeah.
And one of the things that has fascinated me to no end because of social media is the queues of the people at Mount Everest at the top to take that picture. You know, the picture that you see of everybody who's like done the summit.
You're telling me they queue? You're telling me they climb up the highest mountain in the world, go through that cold and that wind and the frostbite and the avalanches and those poor Sherpas must be so disinterested.
There's no avalanches, but
and they queue. They queue at the top of Mount Everest. Wow. Wow.
When you see the people off the picture, just waiting to take the picture, it's very funny.
I can't believe that. That just proves how stupid it is. I mean, here's the picture. Oh, my God. Well, then it's not in the... Okay, so now even that's not an achievement, if you ask me. If people are queuing at the top...
Listen, it is an achievement. They have to jump over dead bodies to get to that queue.
There
are actual dead bodies. There are actual people who have died on that, like...
It's all become so pedestrian. Look at this. There's all the people queuing. Can you fucking believe that? I'm sorry. That is lewd. For me, you've just shown me some other reason to be cross this morning, and I was having a good day.
Why are you cross?
Because if there are this many people, I guarantee you some of those people are not athletes. If they're that many, then all it is a question of getting your plane ticket, getting to the foot of the mountain, doing a little bit of training maybe, and then you get to that queue like everyone else. Oh, no, that's not an achievement. Sorry. That's a photo opportunity. I mean, there's a shorter queue to meet Denzel Washington at the moment. Really? Outrageous. People are doing that.
It's my favorite. When I saw that, it's, yeah.
Apparently there's an app where you can Photoshop yourself on top of Mount Everest. Pretty epic. It trended a while ago. People on the summit in bikinis, baseball gear, etc. You see? I mean, if I gave a shit what other people thought of my achievements, then maybe I'd do some of this stuff and take a picture of myself there and all of that. I really don't get it. I don't get it. I don't understand. What is the point of having that photo, says Tracy? No one can see you. Some are wearing oxygen masks, fighter pilot goggles. Nah, sure, it's one hell of an accomplishment, but what's the point of the picture? I suppose you have to prove to people you made it to the top, right?
How will people know on social media? If it's not on social media, did it really happen?
Why would anyone care about the opinion of strangers? It's the weirdest thing. What do you want? People you've never met must now think, wow, I'd love to meet Pumi because she climbed Everest. I don't think anyone says that. Especially if there's that many people who've climbed Everest. That many people who've done it. Why bother?
Until I saw that picture, I actually didn't realize how many people climb Everest.
It's insane. All right, let's look at some headlines. Here are some things that do affect all of us, because whether you climb mountains or not is totally your business. Oscar Pistorius is still agitating to get out of prison. He wants an early release from prison. So he's going to court to try and force South African authorities to hold a parole hearing for him. Former Olympic Paralympic gold medalist is serving a 13-year sentence for killing Reeva Steenkamp back in 2013. He shot her through a locked toilet door. I don't think anyone doesn't remember this, but just in case, he claims he mistook her for a burglar. He's seeking an early release over a dispute about when his sentence started. Well, surely we know when his sentence started. Right? I mean, everyone on earth watched the trial. So
The moment the judge goes...
Do you think he's just prolonging his pain? I think he is. I think if he just, like, put his head down and just did his time, did whatever people do...
If you've ever seen the inside... You've seen the inside of a South African prison, please believe me, an extra 5 minutes is 5 minutes too many.
Listen, all I'm saying is he is not even in the extra 5 minutes. He is in the agony and the pain of fighting every minute, not even the extra minutes, right? And I just think it makes it worse. Stop it, Carl.
Carl's just brought up like the dumbest, oldest joke in the world. He says, Oscar doesn't have a leg to stand on here. Anyway, all right. So he says he's already served enough time to be eligible for parole, and therefore authorities should look at whether he can be released early. In 2017, he said, the SCA said, rather, the Supreme Court of Appeal said he should serve 13 years and 5 months for the murder, overturning a previous and more lenient punishment for 6 years that he had to do. Last year, the same court ruled that his current term should be backdated to October 2014, when he was initially sentenced for a lesser charge of culpable homicide. Pistorius argues that this backdating means he became eligible for parole in February last year. So, I mean, this has already taken a long time. He's held in Attridgeville Prison, and they say the Court of Appeal has been giving contradictory rulings, so they don't actually know what the rule is. Anyway, so we will have to see what happens, but he's trying to get out early, Oscar. And, I mean, even if you hate Oscar Pistorius, there's no one in the world who wouldn't want to get out early if they could. And then, Pumi, you have to have an opinion on this dispute going on. You know, there's King Misuzulu, but there's this other guy, Prince Simakad, who says that he's the real king. And he went to a wedding the other day, and then people started calling him the king of all Zulus in front of other royal family members. And what does this mean? I mean, surely it's been settled. The king was crowned the other day.
You know what? This poor guy. Do you see? Even this thing, he was, I mean, it's at a wedding somewhere, him and his little faction of people.
Right. What do you
mean? Now, there's a person with no leg to stand on. It's terrible. And it's fascinating to watch. And it happens, right? It happens all the time. It happens.
Oh, yeah, there are disputes.
Everywhere across the world where there are disputes on kind of succession.
Sure.
People have disputes. It happens on a smaller scale in people's families where people have disputes about who's inheriting what.
Correct.
So my view is they just need to, like, let him fade into oblivion. Stop reporting on it. Stop following him. He'll get over it.
Oh, here's an interesting comment from Ntsizwa, who says, I work in prison and Oscar is living a nice life. He's not your regular prisoner. That's some interesting stuff. Why is Jubjub out of prison making trash TV shows and Oscar's still in jail? That's biased. They should both be in prison forever, says Sanele. Well, both Jubjub and Oscar, right? Nobody's really, like, out there screaming for them to be released. No one's desperate for them to come out. Anyway, Stink Mina says, Simakata can't be king. He was born out of wedlock and his mom was a side chick.
Hey. And how did that... Prince Mangosuthu, when he was explaining it all. Spicy.
Well, on a yearly basis, there's this gathering near Camperdown. They host Zulu cultural events. Those events gain prominence by being attended by senior royal family members. At some point, the family invited King Godwill-Zweletini, but he couldn't come. Instead, he sent a senior delegation of royal family members to represent him. Now, 2 weeks ago, the family had a traditional Zulu wedding for one of the sons. It's alleged that they sent an invite to Prince Simakade and his backers within the Zulu royal family to come to the ceremony. Furthermore, it was alleged that the family wanted the prince, who is the firstborn son of the king and who is fighting for the Zulu throne against King Misuzulu and Prince Buzabazi, to be accorded the status of king by being saluted with bayed, right? There was a talk that the Zulu regiments would be organized to attend the wedding and salute the king, or the prince in this case, as king. Ankosi heard that he heard that and sent his induna to tell the family, to tell them that should not happen, as there is only one king, and it's King Nisuzulu.
So this article
goes on for like paragraphs about who it should
be. It's not necessary.
It's crazy, right?
It's not necessary. But you know, yesterday I was reading a thing about Monaco and royalty in Monaco and their relationship to France. Did you know this, Gareth? That up until I think 2014 or something, if the current regent was unable to produce an heir, then
Monaco reverts to France.
Would revert to France, but they've changed it now to say actually it can also move along in terms of the of other, what did they say, royal collateral, so cousins and such like people, but they would have to change their name to Grimaldi.
Well, there've been situations throughout history where, you know, the king of somewhere as far apart as Naples and Sicily and England were all owned by the same king. They were all ruled over by the same king. And then what would happen is that if the king didn't produce a male heir in some places, he'd lose some of those territories. So he could, the female heir could inherit part of it, but maybe not the whole thing. So, I mean, it's always happened that there are these funny disputes, these strange lines of succession. Inheritance law, it's complicated, man.
Yeah, this is exactly this Magate situation over here. You know, he is kind of going, I was first, therefore.
But yeah.
Again,
well,
rubbish.
Yeah, and if you
move on.
If you're getting into House of the Dragon, I watched the first two episodes last night, and that's also, I mean, the whole of the first two episodes all about this succession. Who takes over?
Okay, I'm going to watch it next week when there are three episodes.
No, it's good. Yeah, it's worth
it. I'm going to it in again this weekend.
It's worth getting into it once there are a couple that you can watch in a row.
Yeah, and we're a bit spoiled now, right? We're a bit spoiled now because of Netflix. We just want like
everything.
12 episodes all at once.
Exactly.
But maybe there's a case to be made for watching like episode by episode and then like sitting with it and letting all the pieces touch sides with you during the course of the week and, you know, savor the experience.
Well, we always joke about COPE on the show, the political party, Congress. I mean, you see, you're already laughing. Let me tell you what happened. So COPE has threatened to open a criminal case against disgruntled members who physically disrupted a media briefing in Boksburg on Wednesday. Acting General
Secretary... Do you have the video?
No. The Acting General
Secretary... Did you see the video?
No.
Gareth.
Is it worth it? Oh, wow, okay.
It is all worth it to see the terror in Tara's eyes, to see the chaos and the running. There were actual, like, fisticuffs exchanged.
Let me explain what happened to people just in case, because I don't have the video. But the Acting General Secretary, Eric Motlapamaswi, said that the party will not tolerate this kind of behavior. Apparently, a fist fight broke out at the briefing after disgruntled members demanded that suspended party president Musiwa Lekota not address them. He also said the party's leadership challenges are being addressed. So they have now deteriorated. I mean, what is COPE, like 1% of the vote in South Africa at the moment?
I saw somebody tweeted, there is such a thing as fighting for nothing. And here, there's nothing to fight for.
Right. I mean, this is so stupid. And really, are we seriously... They're fighting over leadership of bugger all. It's not like there's tons and tons of people all over the country. There's swathes of people all over South Africa waiting to be led by Musiwa Lekota. Please. COPE has completely fallen apart. Do you remember how COPE started? I voted for them in one election. I was like, okay, cool, let's give these guys a go. And it was Musiwa Lekota and What's Mbazimashiloa, that's right.
Mbazimashiloa.
Well, it took like 3 days after the election and they started fighting about who should be the boss. Do you remember?
Listen, this whole thing has been going on since last Friday. I was actually talking about this with somebody in the office yesterday. This thing started last Friday with Willie Madisha. Uh-huh. Do you all remember Willie Madisha?
Uh-huh.
Yes, he's the one honk in Parliament. Yeah. Anyway. He is the deputy president of COPE. So between Willie Madisha and Musiwa Lekota, remember that the fallout between Musiwa Lekota and Mbazimashiloa was about who is going to be the leader
right.
of the organization.
Correct. It's always about this.
And there was court cases, whatever, and Mbazima is out. Now he's just relegated to tweeting all his opinions. Right. Now, Musiwa has been the leader of the party since then. And now, Willie Madisha and Musiwa are having this fight. And the suspension, Willie Madisha was the person who held the press conference. He is the person who signed the suspension letter. He is the deputy president of COPE. And they're fighting about who's going to be the next president of COPE. And so he suspended Musiwa Lekota. And the charge is his role that he played in breaking apart the party.
Oh, my God.
And it's like, it's a nightmare.
Unbelievable. All right, well, we're going to see if I can get this video because now I need to see it. I haven't seen it, so I feel very left out here. But we'll see if we can get that on. In the meantime, here's something else in the news. We'll come back to that in a second. They found a new breed of malware in South Africa. You know malware that installs on your system.
Yes.
And then they can ask you for a ransom. And apparently this new breed of malware, these people have already demanded more than 13 million rand in ransom. It's called Agenda. And a software, a cybersecurity company called Trend Micro has founded in Indonesia, Saudi Arabia, Thailand, and South Africa. The ransom amount demanded for the victim to regain access to their system has gone as high as 800,000 rand or 13.6 million rand. That's crazy, right? Crazy. We've got to talk to our friend Jaco Voigt about this. He works in cybersecurity, among other things. So I want to ask him about that. That sounds scary as hell. Imagine being locked out of your system and then they say to you, well, if you want to get back in, you have to pay us 13 million rand. I mean, most people would say, I don't have 13 million rand. Just keep my system, you know? I'd rather start again. I mean, that's a lot of money. Anyway, there has been quite a lot of snow in the Eastern Cape, believe it or not. Blankets of white snow turned the Eastern Cape into a winter wonderland on Monday and Tuesday. The South African Weather Service's Gqeberha office said that snow fell over the southern Drakensberg up to a place called Yugi, as well as in the Winterberg Mountains, including Hogsback, from Monday night until Tuesday morning. So people there are excited because the
snow... Hogsback, that's just outside Grahamstown.
Yeah. And they said that the snow started melting by Wednesday afternoon. The weather authority said there's a slight chance of thunderstorms hitting parts of the province on Thursday. So we spoke to a lightning pathologist yesterday, Pumi, someone who deals especially with lightning strikes, and it was a really interesting conversation. We spoke to him for about half an hour about this, asked all kinds of questions. I'm sure he thought some of our questions were stupid, but we had to ask them. And then last night, I saw one of our listeners posted a video of lightning in Cape Town. And they were suddenly, and they said they were nervous as hell because they'd listened to the lightning pathologist the day before. How do you like them apples? So I would suggest anybody...
Because in Cape Town, you don't have to worry as much as you do out there near Hilton, that Pietermaritzburg area. Apparently, that's where the highest incidences of lightning to ground strikes are in the country.
In Hilton, in Maritzburg?
In that area,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, I was at primary school there. I survived. I got by without being struck by lightning.
The first time I heard that, that's what I thought. That's where all the boarding schools are.
Yeah. Well, go and take a listen to yesterday's discussion with Prof. Blumenthal. It's fascinating.
I love really cool. to hear that.
Yeah, you'll love it. It's terrific. All right, so here's the fight on here's the fight that happened in Cope. All right, we've got to watch this. So if you're listening, I'll try to explain it afterwards, but you may just have to skip 30 seconds of the podcast.
No, explain it throughout like a boxing match.
You see, I can't because then it echoes, so let's just do this properly. Here it is. It's a lot of.
You can stop it here. Now
okay.
It's all just
is that enough?
Word five.
All right. So, so there we go. It starts off with Moseo Lekota sitting there, and he sees this guy come running and like tackle this guy and punch him, and he goes, and Moseo Lekota's face is like, what? What the hell? And then you see all these big, these fat men get up and like try to take control of the situation, and it's such a disaster. What an embarrassment! I mean, really.
You know, it's what a fall from grace. But so, just before that, at the beginning of this press conference, because I watched so many parts of this video yesterday, so many times. You see Musiwa eating samosas and drinking his tea.
All right.
Before it all gets going. And then they start talking. And the guy runs in and, like, manhandles all the microphones in front of Musiwa. You see Musiwa's terror. It's just like, what's going on? I think he was thinking this guy is actually going to, like, accost him. And he wasn't prepared to respond in any kind of physical way. And somebody tackled that guy to the floor. He's the guy that then just gets up and just bolts towards the door. He runs. He leaves. I think there were two guys that came in to disrupt, because then the second of the two guys, unlike the first who...
Well, you say only two guys, but I mean, that's half the membership of Cope.
He gets... The second one kind of gets... like held up and punched in the face a couple of times, and then he's trying to, so the guy who was trying to stop the press conference, now that he's been like punched in the face, is now trying to calm the situation. It's just like, let go. That whole thing was just so terrible.
So
for
great
Tara.
I love that.
So terrible for Tara.
No, well, there you go. So Paul Drake says Cope divided and conquered itself. That's about right. That's about right. That's the most sensible thing we could say about all of that. All right. I want you to watch this, Pumi, and tell me what your thoughts are. This is about millennials. This is obviously Steve Bannon, who was the brains behind Trump's election. And he is a much reviled man in America and in most quarters. But a lot of people think he's quite a genius. You know, he's a smart guy when it comes to elections. Take a listen to what he has to say here and tell me what you think of it.
We've essentially put the burden on the bailout on the working class and middle class. That's why nobody owns anything.
Right.
But the millennials today are nothing but the 19th century Russian serfs. They're better fed. They're better clothed. They're in better shape. They have more information than anybody in the world at any point in time. But they don't own anything. They're not going to own anything. Okay? And they're 20%. If you mark in time against their parents, they're 20% behind in their income. And there's no pension plan in the future. They're all gig economy. We've literally destroyed the middle class in this country.
Okay.
And both political parties. By the way, this is not about Republicans and Democrats.
Right.
This is the way the system works, and this is the way the system comes together.
So what do you think of that? Do you think he makes a good point? I mean, this is how a lot of millennials are feeling. They are behind their parents. They don't own a property. They don't have a career. They have gig jobs. You know, it's a gig economy. They don't have savings. They travel. They spend their money that they do have. So they are behind where their parents or any other generation before them was. And there's no way for them to catch up. And I hear this from a lot of young people, that they feel that they are constantly, like, treading water.
So this is a great conversation to be having, because it's the flip side of a coin of the conversation we're having in the next hour.
Yes.
With the enemy within, with the writer of the book.
Right.
Because here in South Africa, we have exactly the same issue, right? All over the world. But this is the way that the world is stacked up now. The world is stacked up this way, because this is how capital keeps itself. Capital keeps itself, you know. So people with the money keep the money. This is how you do it. And the whole system is geared to help them make more money. And how you make more money, the thing about a gig economy is you have less burden on the on the shareholders, right?
Right.
Because now you don't have to worry about pension funds. You don't have to worry about a need for your employers, because you're not going to have them for 20 years. You're going to have them
Correct.
For the 3 months that you need them, and then they can move on to something else.
Yeah.
So you can discard them.
Right.
It's the new world order. It's the world we ordered.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people feel this exactly this way. I mean, GigaShack is saying, don't make all these woke people depressed. But the fact is, like, the truth does hurt, right? And this is what's going on.
It's the world we ordered.
This is, so many people are stuck in exactly this situation. They can't afford to buy anything. They don't own anything. And, of course, they eat well. They get to travel. They get to Instagram themselves. They get to have information on their phones. But they don't own a damn thing.
You know, anyway, we talk about the damage to the economy that the COVID lockdowns created. But the flip side of that coin is that a hell of a lot of businesses and business people have made a heck of a lot of money out of that experience.
Sure.
And that's what this cycle that the millennials find themselves in is about, right? It's
Absolutely.
About who makes all the money. It's not them. That's why they are poorer than
But I mean, at some point, it also has to come down. So surely, I mean, I agree with you that the politicians have made terrible policy decisions. We've flooded the economies of the world with money since COVID, because that's what governments think people need. And we were even talking about this at the start of the show this morning with the social welfare thing. But at the same time, we've maybe done more damage than good, because ultimately also it's up to people to take responsibility for themselves. And you hear a lot of people going, you know, you and I have discussed this too, Pums. I don't need to own a house. I'd rather just pay rent. Why should I fix someone else's? Why should I, you know, fix all these things, own property, have that responsibility? I'd rather just travel or rent someone's place. That's what a lot of millennials say. So here's the twist in it. I mean, this is the flip side of it. And you did mention who we're going to be talking to just now. It's a book which I suggest that anybody who's interested in the inner workings of the ANC pick up and read. Mpumelelo Mkabela, who is a political analyst and a columnist with News 24, a former editor of the Sowetan and Daily Dispatch, former parliamentary correspondent for the City Press and the Sunday Times, and who has a PhD in political science, has written this book called The Enemy Within. And this is really interesting. Rather. It's about how the ANC actually has started to fall apart and where it all began. And you've just read it now. I actually sent it for you the other day. And I read it like a week or two before that. So it's still fresh in my mind. There's so many things I want to ask this guy.
And but, you know, so what it is. And, of course, because this is also human nature, right? Human nature is hopeful. So when you hear the millennials say, I'm happy not to earn anything, it's a little bit of a self-preservation mechanism, right? If you can't afford to own it, what you need to tell yourself is that you're happy not to.
Right.
The fact that you spend, and this is also when we were speaking about the social security net, this is also the problem that we're, today's problems here in South Africa are minuscule compared to what will happen in the future if we don't solve these problems, right? Because right. this millennial problem that Steve Bannon is talking about, ours is not self-made, right. you know, so because people are not working, mm-hmm. people are not able to save for a retirement or for their later years.
Correct.
So what would essentially be the country's saving for looking after the old people or the young people working, like if you've got a pension plan or an sure. RA or any of those things, they don't have the opportunity to do that. Mm-hmm. In your fit years, in your working years, you're supposed to work so that when you are no longer able to work, there is something to keep you and your lifestyle going.
Correct.
And we're not going to have that. That's the same thing that he's talking about with the millennials. So where they are not saving for down the line when they're retiring, where there will be no way of looking after those old people because YOLO.
Yeah. Well, let's discuss that and a whole lot more. We've got just a couple of minutes until we get into the burning platform for this morning. Among other things, we'll be talking to Mpumelelo Mkabela, who is a political analyst and columnist with News 24, also just written a brilliant book called The Enemy Within, which both Pumi and I have been poring over for the last couple of days. Excited to talk to Mpumelelo. And also, we want to hear what your thoughts are on this in the burning platform, which is coming up next. We'll also be joined by a star appearance from Canton Pile, who's going to be joining us again for the burning platform this morning, a return champion. And we'll probably, I don't know if it's been confirmed yet because we were still trying to get hold of him and make sure it was all on for this morning, Dada Morero, who is an ANC Johannesburg regional chairperson. Now, what would make it great if Dada Morero is coming on is that we have struggled. Pumi, you know this. We've struggled to get the ANC to be on the show. Everybody else comes anytime you want them to. ANC, we've tried everything. We've always sent invitations out to them. We always make sure that we follow up. We talk to whoever they suggest we should talk to get them on the show. And the ANC has been elusive, despite being the majority party. So if we can't talk to them and to actual people in there, we'll talk to the next best, the people who are actually analyzing them from the outside. And one of those people is Mpumelelo Mkabela, and we'll be talking to him just now. So stick around for that and a whole lot more. CliffCentral.com on a Thursday morning. This is the morning of the burning platform. Stick around for that. On its way. CliffCentral.com.